partner with the right people who are going to really take your vision, help you to formulate it in a way that makes sense because they understand, but guide you. Because I've come across a lot of people who say, I can help, and they can't or they won't. That's where you get nervous.
Welcome to the Virginia Foodie Podcast, where we lift the lid on the craft food industry and tell the stories behind the good food, good people, and good brands that you know and love. If you've ever come across a yummy food brand and wondered, how did they do that? How did they turn that recipe into a successful business? Then we've got some stories for you. Hey foodies, welcome back to the podcast. I'm George Deering, founder of VA Foodie, and I provide content marketing strategy and coaching for good food brands. I'm excited today because I'm speaking with Marcy Thornhill of Marcy's Homemades in Richmond, Virginia. If you've ever dreamed of taking a favorite recipe and turning it into a business, then this is the episode for you. Marcy took what was a brand new hobby in the fall of 2020 and turned it into a regional retail brand in under 2 years. At the time of the recording, her applesauce was selling in about 7 Richmond area stores, but she has more on the way. Marcy is a person with a lot of energy. She doesn't let an opportunity slide by her or an obstacle stop her. In today's conversation, we talk about the incredible luck that she's had since her very first canning project was featured in a short spot on the television show Virginia Today. Marcy Thornhill took her brand right from her home kitchen to the retail shelf. It's not unusual for people to think of the packaged food industry as a solid second career or a transition to retirement, and Marcy is no different. In our interview, Marcy outlines all the things she had to learn, the advice she's gotten from partners along the way, and some of the things you don't know that you don't know about retail sales. I'm sure you'll be as amazed as I was when you hear how much hard work Marcy has put into building her small craft food brand. So I'm here today with Marcy Thornhill of Mrs. Marcy's Homemade, and I'm wondering if you could take a moment and do your own introduction to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Marcy Thornhill. I am the founder of Mrs. Marcy's Homemade, which is a woman-owned applesauce manufacturer here in Richmond, Virginia, started during the pandemic.
Oh my, yeah. That's why I had you on here, because you started up in the pandemic times and you've had some pretty interesting success.
Absolutely. It's been a whirlwind, that's for sure.
So when I was doing a little research, I saw the clip on Virginia This Morning, and it tells a little bit about your brand's origin. And I thought maybe if you can just start at the beginning and share it, I thought our listeners would be very interested.
Sure. So as you know, during the pandemic in 2020, there was a big desire to hoard food. Stores were running out of food all over the place. And so I had apples that my husband and I had picked at Carter Mountain here in Virginia, and I didn't want them to go bad. So I decided to make applesauce and can. And I had never canned. I had never made applesauce. Literally, I just tried, Googled, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And it took off from there. Channel 6 saw my Facebook picture of my jar of applesauce. And I said, oh, look, I made applesauce. And they aired it and people started inboxing me to order.
Oh my goodness. How much applesauce did you make in that first batch that got all the attention?
I only made about 5 jars. I just made 5 jars of applesauce.
So 5 jars, really, that's such a small batch.
It was just using what I had. And once I posted the pictures to Facebook, Channel 6 Virginia This Morning TV show saw it, wanted to air it. Once they aired it for that 10-second spot, I think, folks started sending me messages on Facebook and Instagram wanting to order and wanted me to ship to Arizona and California. People I didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
It took off really fast.
So you had five jars. And did you just say yes and then think, oh my gosh, I got to go back to Carter Mountain?
Exactly. I said yes. And I got on my phone and did Instacart and had Wegmans deliver box. Then I tried to find, okay, where do I find big boxes of apples? Restaurant Depot. So my husband and I went to Restaurant Depot and bought two big boxes and literally an apple corer. And we were doing it at home. And I said, okay, I need to legitimize this thing a little bit. And so it went from there.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So you were definitely a cottage industry to start.
Yes.
Oh yeah. My man. So what month was that in the pandemic?
That was October of 2020.
Okay. So peak apple season. So easy to get your apples. How did you make that leap from shipping it to people who just saw you and wanted it to being carried at the market at 25th?
Once I did that, I went into the grocery store. It made me see things very differently. So going into the grocery store shopping, I started to see local, the sign local, 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 really? Oh, wow. I can put my stuff in here? And that's what I saw. I had no idea about local brands, never paid any attention until I started making applesauce. And so I literally sent an email to the market at 25th Street and said, hey, I'd like to put my applesauce in your shelves. What do I need to do?
Oh my goodness.
And that was it. I just asked and they told me what to do and what they needed from me. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You really lucked into some things. Now I can see you and our fans can't see you, but I can see that you've got your products lined up behind you and they've got these really nice labels on them. When did all that happen? Designing a label? Did you need to do that for the market at 25th?
Yes, for the market at 25th, I had to go through it first. Even before that, I had to be approved by the Virginia Department of Agriculture. In order to get that approval, I needed to go through training and get certified, not just serve safe, but I also got food manager certified. So I went through maybe a week-long online training, taking tests. You had to pass the test. And then I had to go through applying for a business license, which I couldn't get until I got VDAX approved. So it was a whole process before I could even go into a store. It was a lot of front-end work.
Oh my goodness. And so probably having that space of the pandemic gave you that time. I mean, because you have a job, right? This is not your only source of income. So
I have a full-time job. And during that time, I was also adjunct professor at VCU.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So I had two jobs. And when the pandemic hit, they shifted the way we were teaching. So they scaled down the number of adjuncts they needed. So I was kind of bummed about that. But it worked in my favor because it gave me time to make applesauce.
So. And learn everything you had to do for your new business.
A lot of learning, a lot of reading. It was a lot to learn about canning and jars and food. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a lot. I mean, there's just so much safety and regulation that we have to adhere to. So,
yeah.
So you got into market at 25th. When did it actually hit the shelves? If October 2020 is when you started, when were you delivering a case to market at 25th?
It was right around March of 2021. It gave me time to go through the trainings, get certified, and then chase down commissary kitchens and chase down getting contracts with kitchens and going to get the business license and getting business insurance and the labels and learning how to get UPC codes because I had to have those and what was legitimate UPCs and where we're not. So I had to do all that logistical stuff. And I was learning. I had no idea what I was doing or how to do it. I was literally learning as I was going, Googling and reading. I had no one to tell me, do this thing.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So you were just self-taught all the way around.
All the way around from beginning to end. Yeah.
So I have to ask you, did someone at the market at 25th, did they really give you the whole list of things? Did they kind of hold your hand through this or did they give you the list and then you showed up 5 months later and said, I'm ready?
Kind of like that. Yeah. So she told me what I needed as far as UPC codes. She told me I needed a UPC. I needed a business license. I needed Department of Agriculture approval to manufacture applesauce. Those are the high level things I needed. And then once I started going down those rabbit holes, VDACs had their requirements and the business license had their requirements and UPCs had their requirements. And I mean, it was so particular down to the ounces of nutmeg. It was in order. It was a lot of little nuances, even down to my label and what could and could not be on my label and where it needed to be on the label.
Oh my goodness, you really got indoctrinated and you were doing it all yourself, which is great. Kudos to you. There are a lot of times when I enter into a relationship with a brand who has gotten to a certain point because they started out at farmers markets, but then they're ready to go to retail. And then it's like, oh, there's all this other stuff I have to do. So you're in the market at 25th and now you're in other stores. Where else are you being carried?
So right now I'm at Southern States on Broad Street in Richmond and also Midlothian off of Alversa. I am in Elwood Thompson's in Carytown, Gracie's Cottage, which is off of Midlothian. I'm at Cross Brothers Grocery in Ashland and at Monticello in their gift shop. And online at the Virginia Living Store or RVA Agriculture. They have multiple farmers markets, so they kind of spread it around there and their websites, a lot of different places. And I have a really new exciting one that's actually coming tomorrow. I don't know if I say anything or not.
Well, by the time this airs, you will be there. So where are you coming? Where will they find you next?
So next, I will be at Public Lands. Public Lands is a subsidiary of Dick's Sporting Goods. And we will be in Charlottesville starting tomorrow. They're launching, I guess, a different series of wilderness stores. And so Ms. Marcy's Homemades will be part of their grocery shopping in their wilderness stores.
Oh, my goodness. So you're starting in Charlottesville, but does that mean you may be in all the Public Lands?
That's the hope. We're going to keep our fingers crossed for that. That's the plan.
So how many Public Lands are there right now?
As far as I know, I think there's about four. I think they're looking to expand. I'll be in one for now, but that is the goal. So with that, I have a whole new learning curve about to step into now because of some other things I need to now learn that I never had to do before.
And what are those things?
Distribution. How do I get my applesauce to Pennsylvania and to Colorado or wherever? How do I do that cost effective? How do I package bulk? Because there may be a need for plastic. How do I do that with my recipe? I don't know. Do I take them like buckets of applesauce? I don't know. But I need to learn that part now. That's a big, big need.
So the good news is you've tapped into something that a lot of entrepreneurs aren't actually aware of. But when you get in with a big retailer, like a big box retailer, now Dick's is big box for sporting goods. Public Lands sounds like it's an incubator project for that company. They only have four of them so far. But when you get into a big brand, there are a lot of ways to get in a piece at a time. Sometimes small brands try to pretend they're bigger than they are. And the answer is you don't have to. First of all, because if you pretend, you're just going to get burned at the end. Yeah. But having someone who's willing to take you on in one store and then branch you out into the others, it is something that happens when they find the brand that they want to partner with.
So, I don't want to eat the whole elephant. I know I had someone say, oh, you should go into Food Lion. Well, no, I'm small. And to manufacture the capacity they're going to need, if each Food Lion in this region will want 20 cases times 10 stores, there's no way my little hands can do that. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different thing. So there's a point where you have to stop and think, how big do I want to be too?
Exactly. Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit about your product line. We've been talking specifically about applesauce, but on your website, you have other things like cider. Can you tell me what else you're making?
So from homemade, I do make the homemade applesauces and ciders. That's specifically what I make. I do offer on my website herbs because I like natural herbs. I have a greenhouse. And so I grow a lot of herbs and I dry them in package. And then I have teas because I like tea. So I just offer different options for my shoppers as they come in to pick up orders. They like to, you know, browse around. So I do offer that. I do a lot of gift boxes. So with that, it may be applesauces and some package of teas and things. So I do a lot of gift boxes. I do a ton. I've probably done about 70 gift boxes in the last 4 months. I do a lot of custom gift boxes for teachers, for graduates, moms, nursing mothers. I mean, I just do a lot of variety. People just say, can you put a box together for my grandma? She's 80. Sure. What is she like?
And that's a highly customized thing.
Yeah. You know, and I put something cute in there. It might be a little book. It might be some grandma's sock. You know, I just really make it really cute. And they absolutely love the boxes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So that's a lot to manage. Your gift boxes are primarily direct to consumer and just online, right?
Correct. Yes.
So how many people are on your team? You were using commercial kitchens, but I saw you have your own manufacturing.
I do. After that October of 2020, literally October 2021, I was moving into my manufacturing center here in Richmond, and I have a team of one, which is me. And so my mom, believe it or not, my 80-year-old mother comes to help me peel apples. She likes to sit and core the apples. That's her thing. So right now, it's just me. I do bring in kids sometimes to kind of intern and get a couple of hours, show them some things as far as the facility. But as far as cooking and prepping, it's all me.
Oh my goodness. What kind of volume then are you able to do?
Ooh, I can do about 300-400 jars a week. It depends on the orders. I'm starting to ramp up now because I have larger orders where people are ordering 6, 8, 10, 12 cases. So now I'm trying to make applesauce about 3 times a week just to get ahead of the game. So the good thing about applesauce is it can last a very long time. So even if I make this overabundance, I know I have 18 months of shelf life. So they tend to go pretty quickly. I haven't had anything stay on the shelf longer than 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all pretty fresh. I was thinking about that too, because of apples and apple season. And there's certain times of years in Virginia when the apples you get aren't quite as tasty as... Making them into sauce is probably an okay thing to do.
It can be tricky though. Apples, because then you're dealing with strawberries and blueberries. And again, they're seasonal as far as the sweetness. So it's always the trick with fruit is getting just the right mix.
Mm-hmm. So in your applesauce product line, how many flavors?
I have blueberry, strawberry, I have original cinnamon, and I have a vegan, and I have a peach possibly coming out if I feel so daring in the next month. If I put the energy into actually doing it, that should be out in the next month.
So vegan, I'm curious, what in your applesauce would make it not vegan?
Lots of people ask that. It's the brown sugar. Brown sugar is not a vegan product. While it's processed with molasses, part of the processing requires the use of a grinder, which has some animal bone, something in the manufacturing. It's not in the product, but it's way it's ground. And because there's the introduction of an animal in any capacity, that makes it not a vegan product.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea. You just taught the food person a food thing. I had no idea.
Yeah, I did a lot of research on that because I wanted to be sure. And that was the thing. It's the milling process that requires some type of animal something with bone. I do know that. So I don't know if that's part of the grinder. It's not in the sugar, but it's part of the process.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. So in your vegan version, are you using a vegan sugar or some other?
Agave, plant-based, and stevia, plant-based.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I had no idea. But there's probably vegans out there who are so happy that you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, they are very happy. And some really, really strict vegans, they know.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
because that's a
brown sugar. I can't eat that.
That's a very specific thing to know.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask about special flavors, but you said you're going to be trying peach possibly this summer. Yeah. So I'll stay tuned to see if that comes to fruition.
Yes. I like that.
But honestly, my biggest question is, with your being the one person in having this sort of rocket launch to your brand, have you had a moment to stop and think of like, where does this end? How far do I want to go?
I have been doing that more lately. And my long-term goal is retirement. Oh. I tell my husband, this is our retirement strategy. And my long-term goal is not to be actually making the applesauce forever. but hopefully get to a point where I can hand it off to someone, staying connected, but being, so I'm not jarring and canning forever. So that's the long-term goal, is getting to something, a bigger manufacturing setting where I can hand that off is the goal. I don't know how that works though. Again, that's something I have to learn too.
Oh, well, stay tuned. We can talk a bit. So that what it sounds like is you are looking at co-packing, in that instead of hiring a staff and training them and having them come in and be employees where you're paying salary or you're hiring 1099 contractors, you are looking to find a manufacturing partner who will honor your recipes and your process and keep your quality where it is, but allow you to be the brand owner.
That would be so awesome. That's what I'm trying to learn. I'm hearing that co-packing language now. I'm like, okay, that's new. I need to figure out, how does that work? And how do I, like you say, ensure the integrity of the product so it doesn't change? I have to learn that. That's something I have to learn.
Well, you know, there's plenty of resources out there to help you find your way. Are you a member of the Virginia Specialty Food and Beverage Manufacturing Association? They have all these VSF.
I think they sent me an email, so not yet. I did meet them at the Virginia Food and Beverage Expo. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things on my list to do, was to do that.
I am a member. I'm a member as a service provider, but they have resources to help you find education. There's a handful of co-packing facilities in Virginia. And then I recently just interviewed a woman who actually helps founders like you, Ashley Sutterfield. She helps people like you find the right next step for their business. So there's plenty of resources out there that would help you as you get to that point of making that decision of what to do next.
But I have a feeling it's going that direction sooner than later. Yeah. So we'll see what 2022 brings about. But I have a feeling by closer to the fall, I'll be making a decision to shift a little gear here or there.
Well, you just have had some amazing growth for a startup brand, and you've just been thrown right into the mix. And even though it has happened so rapidly, the position you're in right now, which is you have a job and then you're thinking about food as a semi-retirement or a transition career for yourself, that happens a lot to food brands. And so you're probably right at the moment to like pause and put pen to paper and do a little business planning and figure out, okay, how do I make these next decisions? But I am so excited for you. It's just so wildly exciting to see somebody just jump in. Really, you knew nothing.
I'm learning as I go. And I think that's the scary part, is not knowing what you don't know and wanting to partner with the right people who are going to really take your vision, help you to formulate it in a way that makes sense because they understand. But guide you, because I've come across a lot of people who say, I can help. And they can't, or they won't, or they halfway kind of sort of. That's where you get nervous, because I'm a small business. I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to just throw out there. Like, I'm nickel and dime. You can consult for how much? You can consult for how? I don't know. So it's very scary, because I want to do more, do it the right way, but I don't know who to trust.
Yeah, it is. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that anyone who starts on this journey doesn't know what they don't know, and they are learning as they go, just like you are. So don't discount that. Nobody starts out with very few people, I would say. There are people who are in the food industry who step away to start a brand, but very few people start out knowing the whole road ahead. Plus, there's so many choices to make. There's so many directions you could go. You could have focused solely on online sales.
Yeah.
But you are out there, and it sounds very, very exciting. Is there any like one big thing, next big thing? I mean, you've already announced a new partnership. Is there anything else coming?
I don't know what I don't know. Not that I know of. I know that I engage with a lot of people. A lot of people are reaching out to me, just really like Public Lands was them contacting me. I don't know who's seeing me and which way it's going to go. I really and truly don't know. I'm excited. I'm very nervous because the growth, I have to definitely shift how I manufacture. It's just a lot to take in, and it's happening so very fast. I've gone from making it at home and selling it online to 6-7 stores and shipping. I've shipped as far as Africa.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I've shipped boxes of applesauce to Africa. I've shipped all over the U.S. I mean, I think I've hit just about every state. I just want to do a map to see where I've shipped to, but I've shipped everywhere and I just don't know what to expect. I have no idea.
Oh my. Oh my. Well, I'd say now's the time to make a little plan. Maybe
I need a plan and I need to really think about what even makes sense in this space because this is a space for me. So planning in a new food space when you're not familiar with the food language, logistics, the ins and outs of really having a food brand, what that means. Those are the things I have to learn so that I don't go down a rabbit hole or I don't step out too far and I can't fulfill the orders, things like that. So I want to make sure I'm making the right business decisions for my family to not overtax my body. Because making applesauce is work. It's physically a lot of work. You're dipping and pulling in. So I go to a chiropractor and I have heating pads. And it's a lot physically on your body.
Chefs talk about that a lot, how physically demanding being a chef is. It's a lot to be standing there manning the kettles. So good on you that you're doing this and that you're keeping it going. And you're so incredibly positive. I think that's probably part of your success. You haven't let a wall stop you. You've leapt over it, armed yourself with some education. Those are all good things. Those are all good tenets for an entrepreneur. So let me ask you before we wind up, where can people find you online? Where can they follow you? Where can they find you if they want to taste some of this great applesauce?
So as far as online, MrsMarcy'sHomemades.com. I'm on Instagram under Mrs. Marcy's Homemades and Facebook, even on TikTok, believe it or not.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You can find me at the VirginiaLivingStore.com. The products are there. RVAgriculture.com. Products are there. Of course, if you're visiting any of the stores in the Richmond area, Monticello, which is really great if you're going out with the kids, stop by the gift shop. We'll be again at Market at 25th, Elwood Thompson, both southern states. So there's a lot of specialty boutiques we're looking at. Gracie's Cottage, if you're in Ashland, Cross Brothers Grocery. And who knows where we'll be in the next 2 weeks. I have a great assistant. That's one thing I will advise anyone, get an assistant. I have a great assistant. So she connects with people. Say, oh, I think I found another store. I'm like, really? What do they want? And so she's like out there online Googling. And so who knows where I'll be by this time next month.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And I so look forward to your continued success.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. This was exciting.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to grow your own food brand, then click on Grow My Brand at vafoodie.com. If you're a lover of local food, then be sure to follow us. We are at VA Foodie on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join the conversation and tell us about your adventures with good food, good people, and good brands.